Prince Turki, welcome to the program. You have been digesting what came from the White House last night. You probably heard the view from Ramallah. So is there going to be a united Arab front against this Trump vision?
Thank you, Ms. Amanpour, for inviting me. After hearing Mr. Barghouti, I really don't know what to add to what he said, other than to say that what came out of Mr. Trump is not digestible. I respectfully decline to add more disrespectful comments to that. But it is a fantasy to think that ethnic cleansing in the 21st century can be condoned by a world community that stays on its behinds and does not respond to that. The problem in Palestine is not the Palestinians. It is the Israeli occupation. And this has been clear and understood by everybody. Hence, you have United Nations resolutions calling for the quid pro quo of land for peace from 1967 until now. The Arab Peace Initiative, of course, is based on that and offered Israel not only diplomatic relation, but all of the things that Israel wanted, from trade, from normalization, etc., in return for the establishment of a Palestinian state with its capital in East Jerusalem. All of these things were American policy until this latest wording that Mr. Trump has chosen to use in claiming that he wants to better things, when actually it is going to turn things into more conflict and more bloodshed.
Can I draw on your long, long years of experience? You were American, Saudi ambassador to America. What would you be telling your capital, your king, in a cable, had you been in Washington last night in that position and listened to what came from the podium? What would you, how would you have explained it?
Well, I can tell you I'm glad I am not in that position, because there is no way that I can explain it. It comes out of the blue, and it is totally based on, as Mr. Barghouti said, on the Israeli position of ethnic cleansing. As you mentioned yourself, Mr. Ben-Gvir, who is the ultimate ethnic cleanser in Palestine, he's been saying this for the last 2.5 years since he joined the government. And now he's justifying what he said by the words of the American president. That is unacceptable.
So what then is the next step? We've had everybody, you know, from your capital to the neighboring countries, which Trump expects to take these, you know, millions of Palestinians, reject this out of hand, say that it's illegal. We've heard the president of the Palestinian Authority. What do you think is the next step? What do you think is going to happen?
I'm not in government, so I don't know what my government will propose, but I would expect that there will be collective action on the part not only of the Arab but Muslim world as well, along with Europeans and other countries that believe in the two-state solution, to take up the matter, and where else but go to the United Nations. And this is the only arena where things like that can be discussed. Unfortunately, with the American veto, I cannot expect that there will be much success in passing any resolutions. But nonetheless, it will show that the world is opposed to this mad ethnic cleansing plan that the American president has proposed.
You're a really smart person and understands, you know, sometimes things are said and they may hide a different meaning. Do you see any, is there any negotiating strategy here that you see that Trump might claim or his acolytes might claim?
I have no idea, and I cannot see anything other than a blank wall in front of me of total acceptance of the Israeli position by the American government. It's not only the president. We've heard also supporting calls from senators and congressmen and other of the American strata of politics supporting this call. So that is the unfortunate position of a whole structure that has been built in the past years in support of Israel.
As you know, and as we've said, normalization is a big strategy, a big goal of the United States, of Israel, etc. Certain Arab countries have always done that, but the crown jewel is your country, Saudi Arabia. Do you see any way? I know you're not in government, but your king and others have said in the past that there will be no normalization without a pledge for a Palestinian state, and in fact for Israel to get out of Gaza. Do you think that still holds? Can you see normalization happening?
Indeed, not at all. This morning, our foreign ministry issued a statement rejecting what came out of Washington in the last days. And this has been the position of Saudi Arabia from the beginning. And even before October 7th, if you recall, when Prince Mohammed spoke with one of your opposition television channels in America, he made clear then that the path to a clear Palestinian state is what we want to see as a result of any talks that we have with the Americans. And we don't talk to the Israelis. We talk to the Americans. And this has been the position that has been maintained forcefully and in various arenas, whether it is the Islamic Summit in Riyadh, the Arab Summit, the Gulf State Summit, all of the international arenas that were held and conferences in Riyadh have stressed the fact that there must be a Palestinian state with its capital in East Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Prince Turki, there seems to be a lot of, both in the United States and actually around the world, whether they're leaders, elected officials or not, or whoever, people are being quite scared about these first 2 weeks of Trump, and even before. There was a lot of what people called anticipatory obedience, fear that he will use the might of a superpower to punish anyone, allies, adversaries, or whatever. Does Saudi Arabia fear a backlash if you know, from the White House, if you don't accept this plan or your role in this plan?
We'll have to wait and see. And one of his first statements, if you remember, he mentioned that he was willing to Saudi Arabia, if Saudi Arabia were willing to invest something like $500 billion in the United States. And he recalled that the first country he visited in his first term was in Saudi Arabia. So if he does come here, I'm sure he will get an earful from the leadership here about the not just the unwisdom of what he is proposing, but the downright unfairness and injustice that is really signified and totally placed in this proposal of ethnic cleansing from not only Gaza, but what is happening in the West Bank, as Mr. Barghouti has said.
And finally, put on your hat as former spy chief. I heard from the U.S. former Secretary of State on his way out. I interviewed him, and he said the Americans assess that over the 15 months of Israel's response to that savage attack on October 7th by Hamas, they assess that Hamas has been able to recruit at least as many people as they lost in this war. From an intelligence and security perspective, what do you think will happen in terms of recruitment, whether inside or even, I don't know, ISIS or whatever around the region, if this vision takes hold?
Well, most definitely in Palestine, it's a question of who cannot contribute themselves to operate with Hamas now. And this is the result of the destruction and the devastation and the genocide, as Mr. Barghouti mentioned, against the people in Gaza and now in the West Bank. And everybody has been telling the Israelis that if you repress these people, that if you punish them, if you inflict death and destruction and mayhem and genocide on them, all you're going to do is create more opposition. That's why they want to use ethnic cleansing to get the people out of the territory. So their policy is clear cut. And unfortunately, we hear this reflected now in what Mr. Trump has said.